Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
This from E on Twitter. E on Twitter. I read it earlier today. Whatever you do, don't bore me with 3 hours of name talk. I got a lot of that yesterday. I wasn't on yesterday. Trust me, E. If I really was doing this right, that's all we'd be talking about today. But you can never go wrong when you're joined by Ben Standig. That is for sure. Ben's joining us right now after being a part of the Q&A group with Quinn and Peters during their press conference last hour. At Ben Standig on X, on Twitter. Last Man Standing is his podcast, and you do have a new announcement or a new place that you're going to announce, and we'll let people hang on for that, and we'll do that at the end. But Ben is setting up shop in a new situation. He is not with The Athletic anymore. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, their loss. But let's start with what you just heard for about a half an hour last hour. Anything strike you as significant as it relates to the Terry contract situation?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think these guys, it was Adam Peters and Dan Quinn, they took the high road, which was, you know, kind of expected, although, you know, you wondered after Terry was pretty candid with his comments last week about his frustration over the contract. But, you know, they Adam Peters expressed, hey, look, we value this guy. We knew that before we arrived here, you know, in the beginning of 2024, and we certainly have learned that since, and that he hopes to get a deal done. That said, he didn't say we're close. He didn't say he knows for sure Terry's coming in today. I had heard that there was at least still some debate on the McLaurin side as of like yesterday that as to what was going to happen, if he's going to, you know, come in and hold in, or if he's out. And so, you know, I don't know that we're any closer to a deal, but they expressed optimism, and, you know, I guess at the moment, you know, it's all we can go on.
Do you have a hunch as to the specifics right now as to why they are apart, whether that is far apart or not that far apart? Is it, you know, age? Is it dollars? Is it years? What do you think the holdup is? Is it style in terms of negotiating style, like you and I have been talking about on this show for a month and a half? Peter's sort of adopting the San Francisco style. What do you think it is? What's your hunch?
Well, he said, you know, when he was asked just generally about holdouts, or, you know, not technically a holdout yet, but, you know, he's asked about these situations, and he said, look, you know, as you know, going back to San Francisco, I've been a part of a lot of these, and, you know, they're, in his view, they're rarely straightforward. And, you know, you've talked about this, that the 49ers, when he was there, not that he was the one in charge of the contract negotiations, but, you know, he saw what was going on. And, you know, oftentimes they had players that the conversations lingered, you know, deep into training camp or right before the season starts. You know, I think as best I have been able to piece together, I think the money aspect is certainly part of it. I think that DK Metcalf, who was the same draft class as Terry, who is a much freakier athlete than Terry, but has not been as consistently productive, and that's not even factoring in, like, the locker room aspect and the community and all that. I, you know, so from the Terry side, I think they're like, hey, well why can't, if he's gotten close to $33 million, why aren't we getting that? But on the other hand, you know, Terry is turning 30 this year. It's not old at all, but it is for NFL purposes. It's something to note. And, you know, look, I mean, as good as Terry is, we all get it. He doesn't have that one skill that you would say he's not the tallest. He's, you know, like he's really good, but he's not necessarily that, has that different on the field that maybe you're looking for if you're going to pay somebody that kind of money. So I don't know how far apart they truly are, but, you know, I've been saying $30 million for some time. To me, that still seems like a middle ground, but we'll have to find out. Terry was obviously pretty direct with his comments last week, and if he's really that frustrated and dug in, then maybe it's not, you know, maybe the compromise is not $30 million. Maybe it's, in his view, no, there's no compromise. We're hitting this. That's the part I'm not quite sure yet. To what degree is the level of frustration from his side, and, you know, how much is Washington willing to budge?
Yeah, you know, the Metcalf deal has come up several times. You know, they don't have to, you know, look at that deal if they believe Pittsburgh overpaid for DK Metcalf, because Pickens was gone and Aaron Rodgers was going to be the quarterback and he needed somebody to be able to throw the football to. It's a bit of a different situation. I mean, I get it. You know, same draft class. Metcalf's a little bit younger. I think the Amon-Ra St. Brown deal is significant in all of this. The two Detroit guys having negotiated 15, 16 months ago with a guy who was 24 in the moment, is 25, you know, right now, going into his age 26 season, that, you know, he got just over 30 and 77 guaranteed. And most people around the NFL would say Amon-Ra St. Brown's better than Terry McLaurin, and much younger. So, well, we'll see. I'm wondering if it's like, is it 30 that the team would be okay with, but Terry's much higher, or is the team, you know, giving him a less than T. Higgins, you know, offer, which could be perceived as lowballed, and he's up in the DK Metcalf range, you know. So that, I was just curious if you kind of had any sort of sense as to where that is. I mean, I didn't hear anything. It was not super revealing other than him talking about the complications and talking about the expectation that they want him and they're going to keep working hard and they've had recent conversations. Maybe that was the news out of it, right? Is that he said that they have had recent conversations. He didn't timeline it, but recent would be maybe since Terry went off last week.
Yes, he did. He did make that mention. You know, I know that, like, nobody wants to hear this, but, like, I've said this before, and I had Adam Schefter on my podcast, my new one that's up, and I talked to him about this, and he kind of has said the same thing that I did, which is, like, people go on vacation. Like, this is the one month where people get away, and not that you can't negotiate a contract from the beach, but, you know, they got lives, too. Everybody's got to kind of go away. I mean, Terry himself was, you know, based on his Instagram, was out and about, you know, traveling around. So, you know, it's part of that as well. So when Terry said the other day that they hadn't talked for a month, okay, that does sound a little peculiar. You'd think somebody would at least be like, hey, man, just checking in, how's it going? But, okay, you know, therefore you would think, okay, they're going to talk, you know, ahead of training camp, obviously. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't get the sense that it's some bitter feud that's going to lead to a trade demand or anything along those lines. I just think it's a discussion, you know. And look, Terry did, you know, had something similar 3 years ago. Obviously, that deal got done in part because Dan Snyder wanted the deal to get done. There was a lot of things going on, as there always were, and giving the most popular player on the team an extension. It's a pretty good way to change the subject for a minute. This is different here. This group is like, hey, we just went to the NFC Championship game in 1 year. We've got Jaden Daniels. We're good. We're not feeling pressure in that regard. So, you know, I think it's just that, a level of negotiation, but, you know, we'll see. I mean, look, and like I said, I think if Terry comes in today but holds in, I think that's a positive sign. It's an indication that they think something will get done. If he's out for, I don't know, maybe one day he's out to send a message and then he's in that bad day too, I don't know, but if he's out for a bit, then that may be then we have a different conversation.
Talking to Ben Standing, what else from, you know, their half-hour press conference stood out to you?
Yeah, I asked about Von Miller. I mean, Adam had addressed that a little bit, and I was just sort of curious because, you know, obviously we all talked about they need more pass rushers throughout free agency and in the draft, and then they really didn't do a ton about it. And so I was like, okay, is this really the plan all along, or did you see something in training, OTAs and minicamp that make you think we needed to do something. And, you know, I think he basically was like, yeah, we kind of knew we needed to do more, even though when we asked questions about it a few months ago, they're like, no, we're good. You know, we feel comfortable with the group we have. But, okay, they did what seemed logical. And obviously, you know, he said a lot of great things about Von Miller, both the player, the person, and, you know, I think all that rings true from everything I've heard. He was, you know, highly productive last year. Six sacks may not seem like an incredible number for a guy who's had double-digit sacks most of his career, but if you look at it in terms of sacks or you know, pass rush wins per attempt, he was in the top 10 along with the other guys. You know, we all talk about the elite pass rushers today. He just didn't play. He played less than 40% of the snaps, partly from injuries and partly just to avoid wear and tear. He's 36 now. So, you know, I think he can be an effective piece for them. They still, you know, long term, I have to get a younger three down defensive end. But for where they were at, I think getting Von Miller was a pretty good move.
Yeah, somebody asked, about his off-the-field issues and the challenge of sort of sorting through all of that. For those of you that didn't know that there were off-the-field issues with Von Miller, he was suspended for the first four games of the NFL last year for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy. It stems from an allegation that he had assaulted his pregnant girlfriend back in 2023. The NFL did not clarify any of the details of that allegation. He's always denied those allegations and said that they were 100% false. Dallas police, that's where it happened, closed the case back about a year ago, but he was still suspended for four games last year, which obviously impacted his sack totals too, if we're talking football. But he, you know, they obviously did. He essentially said, right, that they, you know, it's a challenge to do the homework and find out, you know, all of the information, but that they felt really good about the person that they had acquired.
Yeah, he said he got a lot of unsolicited calls from people that Von Miller has played for in recent stops. And look, on the legal matters, I don't know what, you know, I don't know what to say. I mean, they suspended him. He served his time and, you know, or so to speak, and, you know, move forward. So, yeah, hopefully they've done their due diligence. It is interesting, though, and I've noted this with some of the other guys they brought in this offseason, that, you know, last year it seemed like they were looking for a lot of boys to culture up.
You broke up there. They were looking for what? A lot of Boy Scouts, did you say?
Yeah, you know, guys to help build the culture. And now this offseason, I'm not saying that everybody is a bad guy or a risk, but, you know, Laremy Tunsil, you know, there were questions about the chemistry with Houston, and Houston decided they needed to move on. Debo Samuel, the 49ers took a huge salary cap hit to move on from him. You know, Marshon Lattimore, again, there's nothing necessarily off the field, but, you know, there's some questions, I guess, about, you know, his time with the Saints and just kind of getting along with everybody and so on. So, you know, they definitely have taken more risks, but that's, you know, in the name of talent, that's what's going to happen. You have to compromise a little bit to make that next step, and where they are now is, you know, they need to make the next step. Last year, you know, I think we all recall 500 would have been considered a big season. So to do what they did and naturally build off of that means, you know, going after some guys that maybe they wouldn't have looked at last year.
Ben, this is what you do when you're all in to win a Super Bowl. You take some risks on players.
Peters was actually asked a question about that. He kind of waffled. He went in between both of us. He was like, yeah, well, I think what we did gives us a chance to do both, win now and build for tomorrow. So there you go.
Well, I actually thought the answer on the window when he said, look, three of the four teams last year had quarterbacks, you know, on big deals, and we were the only one that didn't. I'm not even sure what window means. He said, where's the quote? I wrote it down. He said, hopefully our window is as long as we're here. Look, we all understand rookie contract window and what it means, but it doesn't mean that there won't be other windows when Jaden does sign a deal to make it happen too. The window is as long as he's the quarterback and upright, really. It's just a little bit easier in these first three seasons with him on a rookie deal. We're talking to Ben Standing. Back to Terry for just one moment, because there was another question that I had for you, and I think we talked about this last week. What are you hearing, if anything, on the standoff, if we want to even describe that, having, you know, at least a little bit to do with the agent for Terry and the fact that Terry's his biggest client and that this, you know, is going to be one of the bigger deals he's ever done as an agent?
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
I mean, look, that, you know, this is, you know, human nature, right? I mean, everybody is looking to better themselves as good as they can. Now, obviously, the point of an agent is to better your client and help them, you know, to the best degree that you can, give them appropriate counsel. And, you know, by all accounts, his agent, Buddy Baker, seems like a pretty reasonable guy. He's had some other players of, you know, some note, but not. Yeah, not yeah, like Doug Baldwin back in the day, among others. But yeah, Terry is right now, I think, probably his biggest client. And yeah, I mean, look, here's the other thing, right? This is likely going to be Terry's last big deal, so it's not just, you know, whatever, regardless of whatever the agent may be pushing, it is, you know, for Terry. Hey, this is it, right? If I'm going to get the next, you know, whatever, it's going to be now. So. Yeah, I mean, look, Terry is Terry's a smart guy. Like for example, I'm not paying close enough attention to the Shamar Stewart thing, or like when Shedeur Sanders like seemingly was getting some like bad advice, you know, in terms of the process. Like that seems to be problematic with the agent. Here, Terry McLaurin's a very smart guy. He's not a fool. If the agent's telling him something that he doesn't believe in, I don't think he's going to do it. But yeah, I mean, I think they probably look at this as, hey, this is our chance to be a little bit of hardball. We had a great year. You know, this is the thing that's funny. It's like in Adam We Trust versus Scary Terry. And it's the one player other than Jaden that I think if you're Adam Peters, you may lose that battle in terms of the fan, you know, perception. That doesn't necessarily change his negotiation. But if you're Terry, you probably recognize that to a degree as well. So, you know, it's a back and forth. And like I've been saying all along, you know, wake me up if this thing gets past this started training camp. Well, we're almost here. And let's see what happens.
You know, it's interesting. And we did this on the phones recently. Like, would you be team Terry or team, you know, front office? He's not going to lose that battle with me. He just isn't. And it has nothing to do with Terry. I want Terry signed. I want him happy. I want him on a long-term deal. But I trust the team. They've built up enough equity with me here over the last, you know, 18 months or whatever it's been, that I trust that they're doing the right thing for the organization current and future. I think we took calls on it, and I think I was surprised at how many people felt like they would trust the team. Yeah, you're right. It would be Jaden and Terry 1-2 in that order in terms of just do it, just take care of them. But I don't know how much of a PR loss this would be if he ends up playing 2025 on the last year of his deal.
Yeah, no, and look, you know, we've talked among our many discussions has been, you know, the value of wide receivers and do you build on that? You know, do you add a second one on top of the already expensive one you got? Yeah. And I'm of the view you don't. And not that to say just because Kansas City and Buffalo and the Tom Brady Patriots did it this way, everybody has to. But those teams largely, you know, sort of chintzed out on receiver relative to the league because they had quarterbacks who could turn, you know, water into wine for the most part. And not that, you know, we'll still see where Jaden goes, but, you know, other than Terry last year, what did this offense really have? That's why nobody was expecting that much, because you had, you know, Zach Ertz, Olamide Zaccheaus, De'Ami Brown. Like, it's not like these guys had done that much. Or Zach Ertz had, but he's been hurt in recent years. And then with Jaden Daniels, suddenly they all look pretty good. And if you can think that's a thing that's going to continue to happen, maybe you don't think you have to invest as much at receiver. I think you do kind of have one guy, but maybe that one guy is a 24-year-old you draft in a year or two, not a guy who's, you know, turning 30 and, you know, whatever. So, yeah, I think I'm generally with you. It's hard to argue with against whatever Peters is thinking because based on what we've seen, what is there to go against? But, yeah, again, Terry, what's he done that you would say, don't pay this guy? So, it's a really interesting discussion, and, I'm curious to see how it ends out, obviously.
All right. Before we get to just your announcement as to where people can continue to read Ben Standig, it is day one of training camp veterans reporting. What's the biggest storyline after Terry here early in camp? And I'm with you. I'm still not super concerned. I think they'll get a deal done. But after Terry, what's the next biggest storyline entering training camp?
I don't know if there's like a screaming headline storyline. I guess I'm just intrigued by, the defensive line. Like, I could, the offensive line's interesting because of, two new tackles, a lot of moving parts. We'll see when Sam Cosmi comes back. Dan Quinn didn't give us much of an update there. We can point to, Debo, Samuel, and Lattimore. But I'm kind of intrigued by the defensive line because so much of what was tough for the defense last year was obviously, the front seven, their inability to stop the run. And I know they were decent in terms of the number of sacks, but, talent's going to have to win out over scheme. And, prior to Von Miller, they didn't add a ton that you're like, oh, wow, this is a great move. And we don't even, Von Miller's 36. We'll see what he has left officially. So I'm just curious, and not just that, like, what's the rotation? Now that you add a Von Miller to go with, say, a Dorrance Armstrong and a Dietrich Wise, well, what about now Javon Kinlaw? Is he just really going to play mostly tackle? If that's the case, well, then what's going on with Johnny Newton? Is Johnny Newton going to play left? Well, wait, they signed Eddie Goldman, who's a run stuffer. I mean, Eddie Goldman's playing in the early downs, and if that's the case, is Johnny Newton playing more off the bench? I'm just intrigued by the rotation and things like that. They have more bodies that I think are viable than they do spots. So I'm just curious because, again, if that position, it's not just about the line, but if that position isn't resolved, if they don't look like they've improved, then it could be another tough year for the defense overall.
Real quickly, by what time today will we know if Terry reported?
I think like 5 or 6 is sort of the deadline. I heard the players are having their physicals at 3. Now, obviously, they're not all doing it simultaneously, but if it's at 3 and you bang that out in a couple hours, then probably somewhere in that range.
Okay. Tell everybody what you're doing. Ben is no longer with The Athletic. We talked about that a few weeks ago. You're going to continue to come on this show. And by the way, every day this week from training camp, and we'll see what happens in the next few weeks. I've got a few days off coming up too. But where can everybody read you?
Yeah, no, I'm excited. I'm opening up a Substack account, which is a really sort of fancy bloggy place. It's not a blog, though. I'm not a blogger. I'm a reporter, and a lot of other reporters have had success there. And so it's gonna stay the same name, Last Man Standing. I spoke to branding experts, and they said you already got one thing established. Don't confuse it. So we're going with that across the board. And if you've read my coverage, you can expect similar stories, whether, I've written about Jaden Daniels' VR, his usage there and how the team's embraced it, how Adam Peters, found success by listening before acting, talked about Terry McLaurin finding his voice last year, not to mention a lot of NFL drafts and mock drafts, my annual agent survey, all that good stuff. But I think the thing for me, once I sort of sat down and just kind of thought about it, way back when, back in 2018, I was getting super frustrated with not just the local market and how things were kind of being run by organizations, but also, the desire to get clickbait, right? The desire to have those ad revenues and what it meant for the types of stories that were getting run out. So myself and a couple other guys, we started our own subscription site, The Sports Capital. And I really enjoyed that because I was in charge. I mean, with the three of us were in charge, but it was all on us. There was no safety net. We had to do it. Now, we were fortunate at that time to get jobs, full-time jobs with insurance and things like that. So we ultimately had it where we were in our lives. We needed to do it. But now I get to go back and do it again where it's all on me. There is no boss a couple hundred miles away telling me what I should be writing about on the Commanders, or, you know, it's all on me for better or worse. And I think, you know, I'm excited that, you know, for people to come on board, build this community. And look, I'm saying this as just being realistic. I'm not a jab at anybody. As you know, the beat here is very different than it was back then. So, numerous outlets don't no longer cover the team. There's a lot of turnover. And, you know, I've been here for a while, so I feel like I got a pretty good read on things. And, you know, as evidenced by you letting me come on and rant with you. So I, I'm looking forward to it. I'm shocked. You know me, I'm often a Debbie Downer, but I'm pretty optimistic and hopeful here that this is going to work out. So I hope everybody checks it out. Again, it's lastmanstanding, I think, .substack.com, or if you just go to the Substack site or app, you can just look for it there. And it is live now. I actually have not, I got a tweet about it when we get off here, but it is live, and go check it out.
You know what I've thought about you as a reporter, as a writer, as I think very smart, very astute, and I think you think outside the box, which is one of the reasons I've always enjoyed reading you and having you on. I think you'll do really well. All right, we'll chat tomorrow. Thanks.
Awesome, man. See you. Thank
you
again.
Ben Standing, everybody. All right, I know that some of you are waiting for me to weigh in on the Trump stuff. I was off yesterday. I did do a lot on the podcast, but I'll just share some of my thoughts on the tweets related to killing the RFK deal if the team name doesn't go back to the Redskins. I'll do that next. And again, keep it here all day long. We'll certainly report when Terry McLaurin either shows up or doesn't by the deadline, and then we'll know whether or not he is a hold-in or a holdout. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, and the Team980.com.